This 18th of the time, a sharing of the Second Kings, and also the fourth time of the prophet book of Isaiah. So we'll be covering chapter 40 to 48, Isaiah, today. As we always said, we're going through the chronological order for you to understand the whole picture of the Bible, to have a big picture. So we'll have a question: why would this world flow like this if God is living? So we have examined up to Isaiah chapter 39 until last week, as the structure of the book of prophecy is, first of all, there are accusations and reproof of sins, and they speak of the judgment of the sin, then encourage us to turn away from it. Then they usually share comfort, hope, and counsel. But the reason for this comfort, hope, and counsel is a future decision that God will take. So we need to know what is foretold in this book. That is where Isaiah chapter 40 begins. The historical background of Isaiah chapter 40 is the Babylonian captivity of Judah. So actually the historical background is far behind from the chapter 39. So the time difference from chapter 39 to chapter 40 is almost 200 years. So the time Isaiah works is a BC 700 round. So as we shared last week, the Assyrian Sanherib invaded Judah about 14th year of the King Hezekiah's reign, which is a BC 700 around. And now background of the chapter 40 is almost 200 years after King Hezekiah reigned at about 500 BC. So that's why there are a lot of debates around about the writing of Isaiah. It may not be the sole work of the prophet Isaiah, but the part after chapter 40 may be the addition by someone else rather than Isaiah. That is the I briefly mentioned when I shared the introduction of the book of Isaiah. But I believe that Isaiah followed the structure of the general prophetic books, which is generally reproof, counsel, comfort, and hope. The first half of Isaiah is about word of reproof, exhortation, and warning to those who are on the way of breaking the covenant. The latter part is about the counsel and the challenge, the comfort, and the hope for the remnant. Therefore, I believe the book of Isaiah is a sole works of the prophet Isaiah. So from chapter 40 onward should be regarded as a prophecy of Isaiah, not someone else, about what will happen to Judah in the future, like the destruction of South Judah and recovery from Babylonian captivity foretold by God, and further recovery through the Messiah. Furthermore, eschatologically, about the restoration of the New Jerusalem. So this part of Isaiah, you can make more sense when you read the book of Daniel or Ezekiel about the history when Isaiah prophecy actually accomplished. So what I believe is that through the Isaiah, God foretelling Israel and us today, when He's going to restore the Israel and Jerusalem from the captivity, and also the coming of the promised Messiah, and furthermore, the second coming of the Christ at the end of the world. So Isaiah is composed of the 66 chapters. The Bible is also 66 books of 39 book of Old Testament and 27 book of the New Testament. The contents of the New Testament is coming of the Messiah and the works of the Holy Spirit, as well as the story of the church with new covenant people. The structure and the contents of the Isaiah seem to have a similar contents and structures as the New Testament. So Isaiah is also called the Bible in the Bible. The time of Babylonian captivity of South Judah was 70 years. Perhaps in the 70 years there would have been more depraved people and being fascinated by the power of the great dynasty Babylonia. In the meantime, there may have been sincere people who continued to live up to the promise and command of God. During the 70 years of captivity, for the remnant who hold on to God's promise, there may have been questions about whether God really lives and keeps His promises. Even after the first generation died, the generation born in Babylonia over 70 years of captivity would have doubted God's living and promises. We might have the same question as Judah today. If God lives, can the world become so evil, not seeing any signs of recovery, but seeing a deteriorating world as in the days of the prophet Isaiah? You may wonder, does God really live and keep His promise? The clear answer to this question is in chapter 40 to 48. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. The message from chapter 40 through 48, God gives an answer to those who doubt God's living. At any age in the world, there is a clear God's answer to the question, why does this world flow like this? Isaiah chapter 40 verse 28 says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives the strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and a young man stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So according to this word, not because of God does not live, but because He lives the world, is doing this. God never had left the faithful promise even for a moment. Rather, God always faithfully keeps His promises. He always concerned about we might violate promise by sending His prophet for us to walk the right path. It is only God who remains unchanged even after hundreds of years, thousands of years. The grass dries and the flower wither, but the word of God never changes. And he refreshes and rejuvenates the remnant who live according to his promise and command, like the wing of the eagle. But the people continue to ask why the world sink like this. If God lives, and God said, be silent before me, you islands. Let the nation renew their strength. Let them come forward and speak. Let us meet together at the place of judgment. In fact, people complain who don't know how God has worked. Even if God foretells the people about the future as a consequence of their disobedience from time of the Moses, the beginning of promise, in every age, the people of that time did not listen at all, but rather laughed at the prophet and minister who spoke those words. They ridiculed and persecuted the prophets who preached the gospel. Chapter 30, verse 10. They say to the seers, see no more visions, and to the prophets, give us no more vision of what is right. Tell us pleasant to sing. Prophecy illusions. So God commanded to write this word of God before his people and leave as a record. God ordered Isaiah to record and write it down on a paper and make it as a forever witness. These people are rebellious people and lying descendant. Doesn't want to listen the law of the God. God has never forgotten the people he created from the time of creation until now. He guided us to live a prosperous life, living in a blessing that God has prepared. However, people kept blocking their ears from the voice of God and say to God, I don't need. Please leave us. And each of them just leave what was right in their own eyes. So what actually the people of the world facing today is never cursed by God. God has endured more than we human can imagine and persuade us to continue on the right path. So the reason of God's people became to be captive and abused is not because they do not have a strong power, but because they do not have the will of obedience. So obedience does not require capability, money, or the authority and power. Anyone in the world can do it regardless how weak they are. Rather being humble and knowing that you are weak make you obey well to God. So this is why God tells us that obedience is better than sacrifice. In chapter 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 22. He said, do not be afraid of the strong power of the world. God takes responsibility on his people. But people want, God works for them. When they want with the way, the way they want to be. When they seek other gods, they can manipulate and fall into idolatry. So the result of these people is to make an idol that will work as they want to. Chapter 41, verse 7 says, "The metal worker encourages the goldsmith, and the one who smooths with the hammer spurs on the one who strikes the anvil. One says of the welding, 'It is good.' The other nails down the idol so it will not topple. What if one day your son cut a piece of fallen wood into half, use half as firewood for a barbecue, and worship the rest half as an idol, and say, 'Oh my God, who will save me?' Or if you see your kids call a teddy bear or Bobby you bought for the birthday, call it daddy or mommy. It's not much different from the idolatry we're having today's life, or in the eyes of God. So God drives the history of for people to know He is the only and the truth. It is like a film with a huge scale. Likewise, God does this by setting up enormous nations in the history to get rid of all the idolatry of Israel. The creation and destruction of Babylonia, the Persia, followed by Greek and Roma. There are no nations that dominate the ancient time or in God's plan. The role of these nations in the Bible and the reason for their later disappearance are foretold. So all this has been said to save His covenant people from the crossing of the Red Sea to Mount Sinai to be the covenant people promised in Exodus chapter 9, verse 5-6. You will be more certain through the book of prophecy. God could never let His people wander and die. The wandering of believer called by light and dark, light in the darkness is not a wanderer alone, but bring terrible consequences of leaving many souls to hell. When all mankind betrays God, the Creator, each leaves their own way, wanders and forced to death, God has saved Israel into Canaan, a small nation that will soon disappear from the map of the earth. Then God asks the Israel, do not live like an Egypt, or live like the seven Canaanites. Live a life model country that shows the truth, path of faith, the way of blessing, the way of eternal life, the holy priesthood, the light and the sword. But they forgot their mission and promise and fell into idolatry like a seven Canaanites. King Ahaz, the father of the King Hezekiah, that followed the evil way of the Canaanite idol worshipping. You remember what North Israel did. They replaced God as a golden calf. So they did not come back to the way of promise with God. After all, Israel has no choice but to go to such a country where they believe in idol which people made with stone and wood. So the northern kingdom, which eventually transformed the image of God into the golden calf and followed it, was scattered throughout the whole nation of idols that had been destroyed by Assyria. And the southern kingdom Judah always worshipped the idol in the high places beside the temple in Jerusalem. They are taken captive to Babylon, where they live the life of a slave. So they really felt the idols of the Gentile, which seemed so strong, were all made by people's hand, and were just the stones and the piece of wood. On the other hand, our God, who seemed powerless and did not move according to their own need, is a living God and finds that all the things He has spoken through the prophet He has sent are fully accomplished in history. So after the Babylonian captivity, Israel stopped serving idols. They have been trained only God is the ruler and the only one. Only God. Thus where they were taken captive in Babylon, they gathered those words that had been spoken through the prophets and the records that were formed close to the Old Testament which we have today. The history of the world is as a promise in Deuteronomy chapter 28, blessing the flow in obedience according to God's word, and cursed history that flows in disobedience. The history of war has been written many times, but no one can properly interpret the reason why this history is flowing like this. The strongest living evidence of God is that neither the prayer answer nor the experience, but the human history of the world has been and is being done as God foretold through the prophet in the Bible. This Bible and history are the strongest evidence. God works as promised to His people and is prophesied by the prophet. Chapter 42:9. See, the former things have taken place. A new thing I declare before they spring into being. I announce them to you. God now prophesies the destruction of the disobedient northern kingdom through Isaiah, and it was done. The history of Assyria's destruction, neighboring nation collapse, Babylon's appearance, destruction, Persia's appearance, it is done and is being done as God has written through His people. That is why we must know the word correctly. Without knowing the word, we cannot see why this world is now living this life. And without the word, no one can know what the world will be. God is who created people as a model of the nation, holy priests, light and soul, who live according to God's promise. He never leaves to worship idol and go to wrong way. Chapter 42a, verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. That is why God's works saved the dying people from the wandering and gave them laws, 10 commandments, ordinance, and command than anything else. Chapter 42:21. It pleased the Lord for the sake of His righteousness to make His law great and glorious. But these simple people were plundered and taken into captivity for rejecting the precious teaching of God. In other words, God's people are put to shame in the world, not because of lack of strength, but because of lack of the obedience. And chapter 43 reminds us of the purpose for which Israel was originally chosen. Chapter 43, verse 1. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Rather than complaining, if God is true and lives, why the world flows so badly, redefine the reason what God called us for. Because the world is so corrupted, God has chosen us to shine as a light of the world and to reveal the glory of God. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made, those who created for my glory are you and me. You are not created to live your own greed. You are created as God's people and holy kingdom of priests. A Christian is a light that shines in the darkness of this world. Man must know his mission to live right for his purpose. When people say mission, people usually think about what kind of job they will have and what they will do in the future. It becomes clear what to do when you know who you are. For instance, if I know for sure that I am an international student here, I know where to put my energy and what to do now. If you know that you are not to live forever on earth, but to live forever as God's people, wherever you are, you will know your mission. Do you want to know your mission? If so, try to find out what kind of being you are. If you want to know what kind of being you are before God, read here today Isaiah in detail repeatedly. Then you will know exactly who you are, who God is, what He is pleased with, what He hates, and what you are misunderstanding. From chapter 40 to 43, keep on telling us about who God is, who we are. So one of the most important missions found in chapter 43 is, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. Even I am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed. I am not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God." Didn't Jesus give us this same mission? He said, "Only if the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power and be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Being a witness and living with the life of witness is the most precious common mission given to everyone in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and to all God's chosen people. Witnessing does not require skill, strong power, or bubble skill. Regardless, the strong and the weak, adult or children, the old and the young, and men and women, you just need a life of obedience that anyone can do. Being witnesses do not require any special powers. They simply know their weaknesses and live humbly as the Holy Spirit leads them, living according to the Word of God. The most important point of right obedience is to know Bible correctly and fully and know will of God. It's not just to crying out of believe in Jesus, but live a life of a holy priest who lives according to God's word. A life that shows the center of Jesus, which is light and salt, and live as a letter of the Christ. Both the Old Testament and New Testament tell us clearly, it is not that we are saved from the death and destruction for ourselves, but to be a witness of God, a witness of Jesus Christ, a holy priest, becoming light and salt, and let the world know that God is living God. Man's identity is not in the body, but in the soul of the person. If a person has injured his face and body by the accident, then he could not be recognized by his appearance. The person is still the same person. That means you are not a student and Christian, but Christian has mission in the campus. You are not a worker as well as a Christian, but a Christian with an office mission field. You are not a businessman as well as a Christian, but a Christian has a business mission field. Your identity is from God. So your most basic identity is a child of God. The moment we forget this identity, our faith becomes religious, and God becomes an idol to achieve our own purpose. So they forget about their identity, hang on to study, hang on to work, hang on to business, and hang on to their home. The church is not a place to enjoy safety, bless, and guarantee tickets to heaven. We are witnesses, holy priests, and God's people. God wants us to know this and to live by faith. God does not let us live without direction. He instructs what is going to come and guide us to live as a people of heaven. We should not just believe in God, but we should know His will. Chapter 43, verse 10. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. Without knowing this identity and says, I believe and say amen, might be superstitious. Many Christians today are still superstitious. Our faith is not something we need to know everything in the Bible, but we must remember that we are invited to be a people of faith. The Christian faith must begin with the identity that God called us as His living witness. So it is misunderstanding if you think attending church on Sunday is a Christian life. As God's people, we must belong to God's family, church and self, and learn the Word of God and His will in the Bible. And eventually, we should grow as a disciple of Jesus. Idolatry is to live without knowing this identity. It could be understood that young children are unaware about their identity, but it is a problem that adults who are grown up, knowing their sins, knowing their responsibility, and are able to understand the word, still doesn't know their identity. Salvation is the beginning of the witnessed life. Chapter 43 verse 12 says, I have revealed and saved and proclaimed I, and not some foreign God among you. If you come to church for your satisfaction, it becomes idol worship. Things you love more than God and you hold on to more than God's mission, this is idolatry. Why Israel, the children of Almighty God, are taken captive by Babylon and shamed by the nations and dragged from place to place. Not because there is no God, but because they did not obey God's word. So God speaks strongly in chapter 44. There is no God beside me. So do not be afraid, you are my witnesses who have called out of Egypt to promise to be witness. I am responsible on you. Even if the country is ruined and 60 to 70 years of captivity, God says, believe me and do not be afraid. This Babylon who has captured you, I will destroy all by Cyrus, the king of whom I have set up, and I will rebuild the city of Jerusalem which has fallen. So the world is flowing evil way, and God's people are put to shame in such a world, not because God has no power, but because they have no faith to obey to the word of God. So in chapter 45, God is foretelling to those who doubt that God leaving the Babylon who oppressed Israel will soon be destroyed by Persia and free from its oppression. The name of Cyrus of Persia to fulfill God's will was foretold 200 years before through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah. This person appears as it is in history and accomplishes what God says in BC 539. So also we can find the King Cyrus of the Persia in the book of the Daniel. When King Cyrus comes in King Cyrus of the Persia was mentioned by the Daniel. Chapter 46 also tells us that God will do it according to the prophecy that God has known from the beginning. In chapter 47-48, we will continue to tell God to destroy Babylon through the Cyrus and to restore Jerusalem. This 1 week, meditate deeply on today's text, and again, I wish you get the strength from it. Especially in your life, if you have a question, why this happening? Why a world like this? If there is God, there God is. When you read through these chapters of the book of Isaiah, I hope you get the answer from the Bible. Regardless of believer and non-believer, the world saying, why world goes like this? World flow like this if there's God is? They ridicule God. God already taught us how to live the prosperous life from the mountain Sinai. But the history of this world is not the history of the obedience, but the history of disobedience. So how can we live the prosperous life? We go back to the word of God and live accordingly. Obedience is not someone can do it. It's everyone can do it. Bible says, do not be afraid. You are a holy nation, holy priesthood. Take the step of the mission. Through our obedience, God will work. As obedience of Jesus, we are all saved.